Good morning. Welcome to worship today, and now you're all awake, which is what we were going for. There's a lot going on, so I need to run through some announcements briefly, but check your bulletin out. Today, we are not packing backpacks after worship, and some of you may have seen that, but there was a hiccup with the order process. We had to order a lot of food because we were going to pack all the way through the end of the year. The order did not come in when it was supposed to come in. It didn't come in 2 days later than it was supposed to come in. It didn't come in 5 days later than it was supposed to come in. So we will pack backpacks on the 29th of September, and we've already got a potluck scheduled for that day. So come bring some food, have something to eat. We'll walk across to the office complex after, and if there are 15 or 20 of us, then it probably will take half an hour or less, and we'll pack a whole bunch of backpacks. Invite you to be part of that in 2 weeks, and sorry for the change of schedule on you. Want to make sure that you know that today at 5:30, middle and high school youth from Holly Grove and also from other churches in Lutheran churches in Davidson County are gathering here for a cookout and kickball and devotions and s'mores as the kickoff for Davidson Lutheran Youth this year. So if you know a middle or high schooler in Davidson County, invite them to come join us. We will start at 5:30. We will finish at 7:30. And if you have a confirmation student, you can drop them off at confirmation, and there will be a van from First Lutheran coming here. So it'll be a fun evening tonight, and thank you to those helping with the meal this evening. Want to put in another plug. You're going to be tired of hearing me talk about this, but these are can be your talking points to invite your friends and family who you can take this message to. We always hope that you'll make it a priority to be in worship. But as we look at spiritual disciplines over the next few months, we are prioritizing worship as our spiritual discipline in October. And so what we're asking is, in October, you make a special effort to be here for worship. When you get in your car, you buckle your seatbelt and you crank the engine and put it in gear, and you don't even have to think about those things. You don't go, what am I going to do when I get in my car today, right? You just, it's automatic process. You just do those things. I hope you wear your seatbelt. If not, wear your seatbelt, first of all. But that's the way that we hope our worship life can be, right? An automatic thing. And habits are so powerful, whether they're good or they're bad. So in October, we're going to make an effort to improve our worship habits and make a special effort to be here for worship in the month of October. And, you know, we'd love for you to continue that, but at least give me October, and let's make a special effort to all be here and worship together and see what that does to our spiritual lives together and our life with God. Are there other announcements we should be aware of? There are a lot of committee meetings coming up in the next couple weeks, so pay attention to those in here, and you're invited to any and all of those that you have interest in. Other announcements today?
Also, Agape Friends meets tomorrow evening at 6:30 at the office complex, so all ladies are invited. I also need to have just a short meeting with Agape down front, just a very short meeting about the fall gathering that's coming up. This prayer shawl is for the husband of Linda McKay, which most of y'all will know her as Linda Cook. She was the, was the piano player for the Grove Singers. Her husband has just been diagnosed with cancer, so he needs our prayers.
We wish happy birthday this week to Jonathan, Chris, Kara, Monica, Ann, Dean, Sheila, Connor, Kay, and Kelly. And happy anniversary to Keith and Lori, Scott and Kara, Scott and Holly, Kyle and Megan, Rex and Tracy. Anybody else we should add to the list? Let's pray for those folks. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful, raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We stand as our worship continues on page 94. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart, not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by Christ's authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. We continue on page 203. Let us pray. O God, overflowing with mercy and compassion, you lead back to yourself all those who go astray. Preserve your people in your loving care, that we may reject whatever is contrary to you and may follow all things that sustain our life in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Congregation may be seated. If the children will join me up here for a children's message. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Okay, I have some coins that we're going to do something with today, and I've left them somewhere, so let me just call them real quick, okay? You guys know what coins are? Coins are like the money. Some of us are young. Coins are the money that, you know, it's sort of like this big, and they're not worth a whole lot, these coins, but they're money. So let me just see if they'll come real quick. Coins! Coins, come here, we're ready. It takes an hour. I don't see them coming. Does anybody see the coins coming?
No, because they don't move. And it takes an hour to get here.
You're right, the coins don't move. Yeah, he's absolutely right. The coins come when you call them. No, I better go get these coins. Hang on, let me see right here. I'm going to see if I can climb up here and get these coins. Okay, so I thought what would be really fun is if we would play some hide and seek with these coins. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Okay, so here's what's gonna happen. I'm gonna hide these coins, and then we're gonna see if the coins can come and find us. Does that sound good? So the coins are gonna be hidden, or let's say they could be hidden or lost or something. So we're just gonna, we're just gonna throw some coins under there. Okay. Now, here we go. Ready or not, come find us. Wait, no, we're staying here. The coins are going to find us. Are they coming? Okay, I don't want to look. They're not coming yet? How long do you think we have to wait for the coins to find us? So you're saying no matter how long we sit here, those coins are never going to come out here and come to us?
No.
No, you're right. Why?
Because
coins can't move. Coins, if they're going to be moved, somebody has to come get them, right? And carry them to where they need to be. They just can't do it, right? Yeah, these coins don't have brains, they don't have muscles, they don't have the things that they need to be able to come to us. They don't have legs? The only way is if someone rolls it or drops it, but it still takes somebody to do it, right? Well, you guys are absolutely right. You know a lot about coins. Jesus tells us a story about coins in our gospel reading today. And Jesus talks about these coins that are lost, and he sort of compares us to coins that are lost. Coins that are lost can't find their way back home, can they? No. And Jesus sort of compares that to us and says, you know what? We can't find our way back home to God on our own either. If we sort of wander away from God, we just don't have what it takes to get back to God. You know what it takes for God to bring us home? We can't get there by ourselves. God comes to us. God finds us and loves us. Even when we mess up, even when we're not good enough, God finds us and says, I love you, you are mine, and God brings us home. And just like these coins, there's no way we could be in good relationship with God on our own. We just can't do it. We don't have what it takes, just like these coins don't have what it takes to get themselves somewhere. But the good news is that God loves us so much that God always comes to find us. And when God does, you know what happens? God is so happy, God rejoices, and there's a big party to celebrate. Does that sound pretty good to you guys? So I want you to know that God will always come looking for you. God always claims you. God will always find you, and you are loved no matter what. Thanks be to God for that. Will you guys pray with me? Lord God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for finding us. Thank you for bringing us home no matter what. Amen. Thank you, guys. Okay, if you are going to Children's Church, you can line up at that door, but you're welcome to stay too.
The first reading is a reading from Exodus. The Lord said to Moses, "Go down at once. Your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt, have acted perversely. They have been quick to turn aside from the way that I commanded them. They have cast for themselves an image of a calf, and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it, and said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt.' The Lord said to Moses, 'I have seen this people, how stiff-necked they are. Now let me alone, so that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, and of you I will make a great nation.' But Moses implored the Lord his God and said, 'O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, it was with evil intent that he brought them out, to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce wrath, change your mind, and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, how you swore to them by your own self, saying to them, I will multiply your descendants like the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have promised I will give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord changed his mind about the disaster that he planned to bring on his people." The word of the Lord. Psalm today is Psalm 51 and will be read responsively by whole verse. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions.
Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin.
For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me.
Against you, you alone.
"Indeed, I was born guilty, a sinner, when my mother conceived me." "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow."
"Let me be your joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice."
"Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities."
"Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me."
The second reading is from Paul's first letter to Timothy. "I am grateful to Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me, because he judged me faithful and appointed me to his service, even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a man of violence. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But for that very reason I received mercy, so that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display the utmost patience, making me an example to those who would come to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 15th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So Jesus told them this parable. "Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. So if I were a believer in the days when Jesus was walking the earth, there's a pretty fair chance that I would have been a Pharisee. For the most part, I'm a rule follower, and that's the Pharisees to a T. They get a pretty bad rap in the gospel, but they probably mostly started with good intentions because there were all these rules in the scriptures about cleanliness and how you went about living your life in a way that pleased God. And the Pharisees thought that that was such an important thing that they devoted their whole lives to teasing out the meaning of the rules for religious life. For Pharisees, following the rules was about the faithfulness they could show to the God who had for so long been faithful to them, which is why they had a problem with folks who were loose and fast with those rules. Folks like Jesus who went so far as eating with tax collectors and sinners. Tax collectors were the local folks who had signed up to help the Roman occupiers for the sake of profit. So you can imagine they weren't well thought of. Just think of the IRS and how glad you are to deal with them. And in addition to that, in addition to them coming for your money, imagine that they're sending that money off to fund an occupying enemy army instead of your own government. These tax collectors were despised. Sinners, though, is a little harder to pin down. In our Lutheran theology, we would say we're all sinners, right? It's only God's love in Jesus that could put us into right relationship. But in this setting of first century Judaism, sinner probably didn't mean what we Lutherans mean. It probably also didn't necessarily mean that these were morally bad, wicked people. It could just be that they were believers who, for one reason or another, did not follow all the rules and ritual of the cleanliness system. And so, whether they were believers or not, they were outsiders. By choosing not to play by the rules, they made themselves not welcome in the worship life that centered around the temple. And if you're a Pharisee, if rules for you are the way that you live out your life with God, then disregard for these rules was seen as disrespect to the God who had given them. And these disrespectful sinners are the kind of people that Jesus is hanging around with. Did your mama ever tell you to be careful about the friends that you choose and who you hang around with? I think my mama told me something about that one time. Something along the lines of, people will judge you, right or wrong, people will judge you. Teachers and coaches, your peers, they will judge you by who your friends are. So make sure you're not getting in with the wrong crowd. It's one of those things I think that sounds strange as a kid, but when you're a parent, it makes total sense, right? Well, the Pharisees are doing exactly what our mamas warn us people will do. They're looking at Jesus and they're grumbling about the company he's keeping. Not only is he letting these undesirables hang around, he's going so far as to eat with them. In the ritual cleanliness system, eating with the unclean is a big no-no. But the thing is, throughout the ministry of Jesus, Jesus has consistently demonstrated that he cares a lot more about the actual people and their needs than he does about the rules people aren't following. Which is not to say that the rules don't matter, but it is a clear prioritizing of the infinite worth of all people apart from their adherence to the rules. When Jesus looks at people, when he looks at tax collectors and sinners, when he looks at you and me and the inmates down at the prison, the first thing Jesus sees is not our status under the law, but the image of God in which we were created. When God sees us, even with all our faults and flaws that God knows about, what God sees first is precious child. And that's what makes these parables make sense, because without that, they pretty much sound crazy. Who wouldn't leave the 99 sheep in the wilderness and go find the one that was lost, Jesus asks. And you can just see all the people present going, not me, right? Because being a shepherd is not really about preserving every individual. It's about caring for the good of the whole flock. You can bet that if a wolf comes upon that flock while the shepherd is away, it's more than one sheep that would be lost. In a frenzy, a wolf is liable to kill a dozen and scatter the rest. And even if no predator happens upon them, well, these sheep left alone are prone to wander off, and you might split your group into three or four as the sheep wander in different directions. So from a risk management standpoint, from an economic standpoint, the safe thing to do is to cut your losses and stay with the sheep you have. But as it turns out, God's accounting counts value differently than the world does. What we have is a God who risks it all for the sake of finding the one who was lost and bringing him home. And we see this clearly in the ministry and the life and the death of Jesus. He doesn't take the safe route, right? Jesus, who does not compromise for the sake of smooth relationships with the powers that be, instead, Jesus fully lives out his mission of bringing healing and wholeness to all people as he ushers in the kingdom of God. And when he finally steps on one too many toes doing it, they kill him for it. But this is the kind of God we have. A God who loves you, who loves the sinners and outcasts, a God who loves the rule followers and all the rest so much that God relentlessly comes to save us. We have a God who will not be stopped, even by the worst that sin and death can do. In Jesus, God faces that death in love for all the world on the cross for the sake of finding us and bringing us home. That's good news, folks. God does that for you. But we can't forget that God also does that for the ones that the good religious folks wouldn't be caught dead with. We can't forget that the reason Jesus even tells these parables is that people are grumbling about this attention he's paying to sinners. We do well to remember, we are those sinners, completely dependent on the God who finds us and saves us. We're no better off on our own than the people we might scoff at and deem as outsiders, rule breakers, or undesirables. All of us are lost sheep, coins, lost in the dirt. And what's a coin going to do to save itself, right? The children knew that was ridiculous. In love, though, God does what we couldn't do, what we couldn't deserve or hope to achieve. God finds us, seeks us out, and brings us home with rejoicing. In gratitude, then, we give thanks to God by doing what God does, seeing people not for their religious status, country of origin, the economic risk they pose, or the level of sin we perceive in them, but we see them for who they really are, the ones made in the image of God, whom Jesus has died to save. Amen.
So, in timber.
Let us reaffirm our faith as united people of God by the use of the Apostles' Creed found on 105. I believe in God the Father Almighty. Sustained and nurtured by our generous God, we gather as one to pray for the church, the world, and all God's creation. Turn our hearts, O God. Make us attentive to your call and take up the cross-shaped way of life and to share your good news with the world in need. Lord, in your mercy, turn our hearts toward life and all its infinite varieties. We pray especially for all vanishing and endangered creatures who struggle to find a home in this world. Open our eyes to the value of our interconnected relationships with your natural world. Lord, in your mercy, turn our hearts toward all who yearn for calm and fairness. Where there is violence and conflict, grant peace. Where there is disparity, grant justice. Where there is hatred and fear, grant compassion and empathy. Lord, in your mercy, turn our hearts toward all who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. We pray for those in bondage to sin, addiction, poverty, physical slavery, human trafficking, and those incarcerated or detained. For those in need in any way, we pray, especially for those affected by Hurricane Dorian. Lord, in your mercy, turn our hearts towards the ministries of our congregations that feed the hungry, share with the needy, advocate for the silenced, and work for your justice. Embolden our hearts to labor without fear. Lord, in your mercy, assured by your promise to hear us, we lay our prayers before your throne of grace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
We share a sign of Christ's peace.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Holy God, gracious and merciful, you bring forth food from the earth and nourish your whole creation. Turn our hearts towards those who hunger in any way, that all may know your care, and prepare us now to feast on the bread of life, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
Also.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is
right to give our thanks and praise. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy.
In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. You may be seated.
Oh,
We stand. Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. For the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Almighty God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. We'll say our mission statement, which is on page 5 of your bulletin. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Go in peace. Serve the Lord.